My privilege to be able to share the word of the Lord with you this morning in this beautiful summer day that God's given us. So I want you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. And I want to just share how my thinking went towards this message. Last Sunday, we had a number of guests here, a number of visitors with us, and it was a good morning, good 9 o'clock service, good 11 o'clock service with the Banksons. And in the course of conversations, somebody said to me, they said, "We really like coming here to our church. They said it's so lively." That's what they said. I said, do you think it's lively? "Oh, yeah." They said, it was amazing. They were just giving me some different illustrations. They said, "I wonder if you could, is there any other churches where they live that would be Pentecostal? Is there any Pentecostal churches?" And I said, "Well, now, when you look for Pentecostal, what are you talking about?" "You know, the lively churches." So the word lively, you mean where they clap or where they dance or where they, all that stuff. "Never happens like that in our church," they said. "So I wonder if you could give me some churches that I could go where they would be the Pentecostal churches, full gospel churches, charismatic churches." And because they said they saw a difference. Now, I began to think about it. You can be clappy as much as you want or dance as much as you want and not be Pentecostal. It's not what makes it. It's the overflow. Pentecost is the overflow of what God is already doing in our lives. But it made me think, and that's why I made it as a statement, what a Spirit-controlled church would look like. Right? What would it look like? Is it just happy clappers? Is it just everybody decides to raise their voice and some few people decide to dance? And what is it that makes it that definition? So let me read it. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Look carefully then how you should walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing yourselves one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart and giving thanks always and for everything." Wow, there's an exhortation. Oh, that's more than exhortation. That's a command. That's a command by Paul for us. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Wow. I said, that's now we're talking. Now we're talking. See, I'm convinced that there are many people who profess faith in Christ, but who haven't surrendered themselves to the control of the Spirit. That gives us a little closer idea of what this is about. It's not so much whether you hop up and down and sing your praises louder or repeat a song 10 times. That doesn't make you charismatic. It doesn't make you full gospel. It doesn't make you Pentecostal, right? It's when we come under the complete control of the Spirit of God. There's a difference between Christians who are born again and those who are living a Spirit-controlled life. I remember many years ago, there was a dear man in the Regina Church where I was training. This was in the early 70s. Lovely, lovely man. And I just never saw his wife. And so one day I was chatting with him and I said, "You know, I don't ever see your wife." I said, "Is there, is she a Christian? Is she a Christian?" And he said, he paused and we were walking in the back of the church. I still remember to this day where we were walking. We were walking together. He turned to me. He said, yes, I believe she's a Christian. I believe she is. But then he looks at me, he says, "But Brother Owen, she's not Spirit-filled. She's a Christian, but she's not Spirit-filled." Wow. I had never heard anybody describe it that way. I get it, though, right? He said, "Well, if the trumpet was to blow, I believe that she would go to be with the Lord. She'd trust Jesus as her Savior. But she's not filled with the Spirit. She's not Spirit-controlled." And there, now it becomes a little closer to home. In the Scriptures, we see the imperative, and we see the importance of going deeper with God. One of our mandates is together as a church, is become increasingly filled with the Spirit, individually and collectively as a body. You know, we, for whatever reason, I mean, I guess God gives us some reasons, but the picture of Scripture is that you and I need the Holy Spirit. This is not an optional thing. It's not a doctrinal thing where, oh, yes, Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. I mean, we get that nailed down pretty good, right, about how we see the meaning of being filled. But in the Scriptures, the slightest job seemed to require require the Spirit. For example, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, I want you to pick these people, these men, to wait on tables. That's what they're. He said, we're going to give ourselves to the Scripture and to the Word of God, but these ones that you pick, and wow, what a crew that they pick. These are quality people. He said, the qualification, Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4, is that that they are Spirit-controlled. They are full of the Spirit. To wait on tables? Yes. Yes. Whatever else that involved. I don't know, maybe waiting on tables had other things in mind. But that's the essence of it, because the apostle said, so we can give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. But when you look for it, you don't look for somebody who's good at doing tables. You look at someone who's full of the Spirit. That's the qualification, to be filled with the Spirit of God, control, and full of wisdom. Well, that's hire that person, right? They're full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. He says, now they can wait on tables. That's the New Testament understanding of this thing, that we can't have, everybody must be Spirit-filled. I'm sure that was a qualification for everything. Are they filled with the Spirit? How are they filled with the Spirit? Are they filled with the Spirit? So that brings us to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 and verse 16, because it has to do with how the Lord sees churches. Let me just note, somebody said, is Jesus going to spew me out of his mouth? That was last Sunday. Is he going to spew me out of my mouth if I'm not full of the Spirit? I said, oh, no, that's not the case. He's talking to churches here. He's not talking to individuals. And do I believe that God can remove the candlestick? Yes, he can. The church that I got saved in and got water baptized in. No, if you were to go to my old hometown and you would check out, that church doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's gone. Where did it go? The Lord removed the candlestick, I assume. Right? It did not be as a church what God wanted to be. So he said, okay, I'll just remove it. Now it has no influence at all because it doesn't exist. So that can happen to a church. Now, we're not talking about individuals. We're talking about a church. So the church at Laodicea, it had a real serious problem that I struggle with and you struggle with, and that it was a lukewarm church. A lukewarm church. Now, a lukewarm church, the problem with it is that you don't know that's what you are. You have no idea, no concept of what you are. When you are a lukewarm church, it doesn't feel bad. It feels okay. It's everything is business as usual. I see a contrast here. On one hand, we see churches doing just great, great, great things for God. People are finding Christ and being baptized, and prayer meetings are bringing down God's richest blessings, and the Spirit of love is pervading the atmosphere. There are churches like that. There are churches like that. That's what it looks like on that side. Just alive, people getting saved, getting people baptized. The Holy Spirit is moving. Love is knee-deep in the place, and people care about relationships are important, and there's love and acceptance. So the comment we'd make about that is that the Spirit of Christ is in those churches, and excitement is in the air because of it. It's an exciting place to be where that's happening. And on the other hand, the one hand, this Spirit-filled group of people where the Spirit's just moving on everybody and just glorious things happening. On the other hand, there are churches that basically give Jesus a bad name. They just give him a bad name. As much as I could say about that. But and why? Because they're lukewarm. They can't fulfill their mandate because they're lukewarm. And this is what Jesus said. Now, let me read that passage of Scripture. It's it as it speaks to us so strongly and so powerfully. Verse 15, I know your works. You are neither cold. Perhaps it was the neither that got Jesus upset the most. It upset him. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you were lukewarm, he didn't say because you are cold. He said because you are lukewarm. He didn't say because you are hot. No, because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So that's how he feels about a lukewarm church. We make him sick because it's intolerable. It has enough of the right things to be called a church, right? It's coming close enough to truth to be called a church, but because it's a lukewarm church. And I assume that it's lukewarm because everybody in the place is lukewarm. I can only assume that. I don't know that, but I can only assume that. You see, this church, they dishonor the Lord because of their attitudes and because of their actions. It's always the case, right? Attitudes and actions determine what we are like. So in that church, a deadly, deadly chill fills the place. You can walk in and say, boy. Now you might say several things. If you were visiting, you'd say, this place is deader and dead. Or you might say, when's the last time somebody got saved here? I don't even know if they ever did. You know, just that I remember hearing somebody saying, I think it was Trevor Harris, that he said, I'll tell you, that church was so cold, he says, you could skate from the back door to the pulpit. So you don't want to say, bring your skates, because we're going to be a cold church. But he said, well, we're not cold. And I would say that about even, we're not a cold church. And we have our moments when we're hot. But I am afraid, and I'm sure you should be afraid, that many times we are lukewarm. We're neither this nor that. We're just good. How's it going? Good. How's the music? Good. Yeah, it's very good. How's the preaching? Oh, preaching's good. Yeah. How's the staff? Oh, they're good. Good. Yeah. So how's it going? Pretty well. Oh, it's going good. And what's that retching sound? That, my friends, is the Lord with the pail. Upchucking because he was in the church. And it wasn't either. Some say, well, I'll tell you, we got a hot church. Well, that's good. He said, I would rather have you hot. But he said, I'd even rather have you cold. At least we knew what it was. Right? At least we knew what it was. That you're cold in heart. You're not spirit-filled. You see, if we're not filled and controlled by the Spirit, we'll miss out on what God wants us to be. That life, that vitality, that excitement that's in the air, that you know it didn't come because of the elders or because of the board. It just came because because people were praying and they're open to the Spirit of God. And because they were open to the Spirit of God began to move and hearts were touched and hearts are changed because of that. And the atmosphere begins to change. Just in life, this is a great place to be, right? Great place to be. See, I know people say, I want to be where the worship is really good, or I want to be where this is really good. Well, for myself, if that's not so important to me, music is music. I want to be where the presence of Jesus is, where you walk in and you're wiping away tears because you can feel the presence of the Lord. And when they begin to sing, you know, there's people with their hands raised, or there's people kneeling, there's people just responding because it's just a result of being full of the Spirit. So the question is, what prevents, and really that is a question to my own heart, what prevents so many of us from fully surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit? If he says, be filled with the Spirit, in other words, because it's not a gas, it's not a vapor. I don't think it is, right? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's not a cloud. It's best if we say Spirit, when we say Spirit filled, Spirit controlled. Whatever it is, however the Holy Spirit works, we're controlled by that Spirit. So I think one of the dangers for us, or one of the fears for us, is that of losing power, losing control. We want to be in control. And one of the things that if a church is Spirit-filled, if it's anything, it's out of control. not quite sure where it's going to go. Not sure how that meeting's going to end up. It's not so predictable because we've given up control. So I wrote a statement here in your notes, losing control and gaining power. If you want to be in charge, then you can't get Spirit-filled. Because if it's anything, it's an abandonment where I abandon myself, say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, baptize me, energize me, touch me. Don't allow me to go on in a cold state or a lukewarm state. So, but here's the irony. We lose control and gain power. That's a very powerful thing. Now, most of us, though, we're afraid of how it might look. You say, well, I don't do this. I don't raise my hands, or I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that I can understand why someone might be afraid, because in Acts chapter 2, that passage I'm just alluding to, is that the people who saw the 120 get filled with the Holy Spirit did not give complimentary things about it. They said, those Looney Tunes they're drunk. It says, they are drunk. Now, you got to picture that, how that, whoa, we better stop then. We better stop doing this. We better not let anything happen to us, because we don't want people to think we're drunk. We don't want to think people that we're crazy. Now, I would say this. When I talk about out of control, I'm not talking about wacko, brainless things that people do and call it the Holy Spirit. But I do know that there's often different type of things that God does do when people are Spirit-filled. Right? You can't control it. So we might say to ourselves, I will serve the Lord, but I'll remain in control as I do it. Right? Oh, Holy Spirit, fill me. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to be Spirit-filled? Because once you lose control and say, okay, Lord, I give up the control of my life. I want to be full of you. I want to be fully surrendered and fully baptized in you. Whatever it means to be Spirit-filled, that's what I want. I've had people say, well, I don't have a problem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that tongue stuff, that's a little, and all that stuff, it's kind of not really me. Well, what would be you? Fast asleep in church, snoring? What would be you? Drifting off, slip in, sit down, slide, slip out? What is you? You say, well, that's not me. See, to me, I'm saying, Lord, I don't care what you do with me, but I want to be full of you, so full of you that I have lost control and gained power. So the church began 2,000 years ago with Spirit-controlled Christians who yielded themselves to God. I mean, how radical is that? 120 people said, Lord, we're waiting on you to be filled. Remember, he said to go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And they believed him, and they did. Very radical. You see, the irony of Spirit-filled living is that we have to give up power. We have to give up power. I mean, there's churches probably say, well, we don't want that going on in our church now, do we? Well, what do you mean? Are you already dictating what's going to be and what's not going to be? I mean, I'm talking about scriptural things. Well, we're not that. We're more conservative. Okay. I know about conservative. And we don't want to look bad. I know about that too. I know what that the desire to say. I don't want my neighbors to think that, sure enough, I'm going to bring someone to church and someone's going to let a big, long message in tongues about that long. And they're going to be, speaking away in tongues, and my neighbor is going to think that this is an 18th century insane asylum. I know about that. And sure enough, that's when it usually happens, when you bring your neighbor. Why is that? Why is that, right? Why does that one individual have to be the one that morning? I don't know. But I know that if I try and stop everything so that never happens, you get a group of lukewarm people that are making sure this thing never, ever, 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 ever gets out of control. We like it just like this. Want to be able to know what happens the second I walk in to the second I walk out. I want to know what's going on. Well, then you're in the wrong church if it's going to be a Spirit-filled. Because when the Holy Spirit has control, we're not quite sure. Now, the Bible says do all things decently and in order. And that's what would be the biblical mandate. But beyond that, who's to say whether a prophetic message might come? Or what if somebody says, I feel that there's a person here who's come and you just this week got a medical report that was really bad, but this is what the Lord would say to you. And then they give a word to them. Well, I'll tell you, they go home. They don't think, they didn't remember a word about my message. But they say, oh, that word, a living word came of encouragement about me, that me, this person in the hospital, and that the Lord would think of it and give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or discerning, or any other gift that would be there. So how powerful, how wonderful. So we have to give up power in order to gain a greater power. Because I know this, you can't rest on a religious experience that you had months or years ago. Because I could tell you, oh, I remember I was at that Bible camp, Last Mountain Lake, filled with the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, beautiful. What year was that? 69, maybe. I can't remember. You know, I'm not quite, I can't remember. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's not the point of it, right? You can't rest on a religious experience. So I remember at one time I was really on fire. What happened? What happened? Right? If those were the, see, my days, my glory days better be today. I don't want to say, oh, I'll tell you back then, Richard, remember Brother Richard? Oh, Brother Richard, oh, Brother Owen. I said, yeah, Brother Richard, I'll tell you. Those were the, remember that Valley Church? See, we need to be touched today, filled today. Got to stay current, to be filled with the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. That's so crucial, so powerfully important. So I say, Lord, keep me fresh. And by the way, I was explaining to someone just this week about speaking in tongues. And I said, one of the value of speaking in tongues is that it keeps you effervescent. Well, it's not so much tongues. It's just that you build yourself up as you pray in the Spirit. And it keeps you effervescent. It keeps you sharp and excited. It keeps you full of excitement. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Wow, I have the Holy Spirit. And it's wonderful and powerful. And all my life, and I believe right to the time till I'm a really old guy, I can be effervescent, but full of the Spirit. Million wrinkles, but full of the Spirit. Right? And isn't that what you want? A Spirit-filled experience. So our job is to keep the fire burning. Because I can prophesy this and say that if we don't, 10 years from now, this place will be pretty dry. People still remembering some odd service that was pretty good. Somebody was touched. Somebody was ministered to. Somebody was healed, perhaps. But it's like a memory. It's like it's nothing up to. So what have we got to say to our young people? If they say, you know, the church I grew up in was really full of the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you, that was a really amazing thing. What? Isn't that not what you want? Instead of saying, I don't remember the Spirit moving too much in my church. But turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and verse 6 and verse 7. You see, one of the things, did I say 2 Timothy? Chapter 1. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6 and verse 7. Find it here. Ah, yes. For this reason, I remind you, remember he's writing to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which was given unto you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power. And of self-control. Fan it into flame. Oh, what it's suggesting is that somehow it waned. It wasn't quite the way it was when Paul laid his hands on him. So what does that suggest to us? That the first step is giving him control. Giving him control. Lord, fan into flames in my heart and my life the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. Let me be not only blood-bought, but let me be Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled. Someone controlled with the Spirit who's abandoned himself to God. That's what we want. The first step is giving him control. And you know, in an atmosphere like that, wherever the Holy Spirit has control, you'll find that there is a great emphasis on Scripture. It's not just on spiritual experiences, but the Word comes alive. And I thought maybe just as a homework assignment, you might want to read through 1 Thessalonians 1 to 5. Now, I read, or chapter 1 to chapter 5, I read it with Weymouth's translation. It was, boy, it was really, really rich. It was so rich. I thought, I should tell everybody to read that. Just, it's kind of, it's his admonition to the body of Christ. So all this, well, it's just scripture, but it's very excellent. So you might want to do that. Just 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and chapter 5, and see if your heart is not touched by that. So one of the other problems, I call this rocking the boat of our traditions. Well, someone might say, well, that's fine, but that's because you're that kind of a church. But I'm Presbyterian, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Baptist, or I'm whatever they might be. And so we don't do it that way. Well, that could be true, that they may not do it that way. But just for example, for myself, just because there's some crazy, unbalanced people doesn't mean we should stop emphasizing gifts of the Spirit. I have to forget about tradition and just say it's still in the Bible. And someone might say, well, I don't do that in our church. Whenever it's not about your church. It's about the Scripture. It's about the Word of God. It's about what a Spirit-filled church does look like. So some things are die slowly, right? I say, well, not used to it, but I'm going to be open to it. So that's why God, if we're not open to the Holy Spirit, some other church, I guarantee you, will have a great outpouring of the Spirit. God will go down the street. He'll find some people that are really hungry for the Holy Spirit, who really want a greater freshness in their life. And they say, well, those people aren't. They want to go so far and no further. So far, no further. Well, then if that's true, if my tradition's keeping me from experiencing the fullness of the Spirit, then my tradition has to go if it's scriptural. I mean, if what we're experiencing is scriptural. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, great admonition. Quench not the Spirit. Can it be quenched? Yes. We can quench the Spirit of God. So my prayer is, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me. You see, this place should be, now I'm speaking personally as a pastor and a group of people. This place should be the joy place. That one of the signs that mark it is inexpressible joy. That everybody is, it seems like everybody is upbeat. Right? It seems like maybe not everybody is, but it seems that way. So you've been elsewhere, right? Somewhere other than your own city. You've gone into a church, say, oh, why don't we go to church there? So you go to that church, and in a few minutes, I can tell you what's going to happen. Right? I can tell you if it's really going to ignite, or whether it's going to be ho-hum, same old, I'm just simply saying is that I don't know how I think that this, I'm thinking of a particular church that I visited that one time that I thought there's no life here. There's scripture. There's sincerity, I guess. Seemed like they were sincere. But the church, I don't think I could go there, folks. There's just no life. Where's the Holy Spirit? Isn't that what we cry? Where's the Holy Spirit? That alone should define us. We say we know where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit's in our church. He's moving. And by the way, I had a friend who likes to argue and share scripture with Jehovah's Witnesses. And he said his greatest answer to everything, he said, they'll be talking, I'll be talking, then I'll simply say, I'm kind of curious in what you're telling me. What's the Holy Spirit doing in your church? Because he's not. They haven't even got an answer for it. Because in that particular teaching, the Holy Spirit is a force. It's not a person. It's a force. But I hope that you'd be able to say, humbly, but be able to say, the Holy Spirit's at work. People are coming to Jesus. Hearts are being changed. Marriages are being touched. The place is alive. We can't wait to get there. Can't wait to get to church. Why? Because it's the best thing happening in town. Right? Say, oh, is it the music? Well, the music it should be good, but it's not just good music. It's that the Spirit is on us, and people feel it, and it becomes the joy place. There's just a great lot of joy and jubilation and yes, dancing before the Lord and kneeling before the Lord and clapping before the Lord and not being afraid to step out, right? And I know about control because I see myself as, actually, the pastor has teased me that I'm a Bapticostal, that I'm sympathetic to the Baptists, and I'm also Pentecostal, so I'm a Bapticostal. Well, that might be a compliment. I don't know if it is. But all I know is that I don't want to be neither this nor that. I want to be Spirit-filled because I see that in Scripture, as I'm sure you do too. So keeping in step with the Spirit. You see, it's the leadership's duty to watch the activity and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That's our job as elders and pastoral staff. What's the Spirit up to? What's the Spirit up to? What's the Spirit up to? Let's pray. Let's gather. Let's have a prayer meeting. Why? Because we can see that the baptisms have dropped off. We can see that there's not been as many. This hasn't happened. People haven't been really responding. It's been a while since somebody got gloriously saved in a service. Why is that? Well, the answer is not to form a committee. The answer is to form a prayer meeting. Because I know and can guarantee you, if at church, this church or any other church, if it is a Spirit-controlled church, you can be sure that the center of the power is a prayer meeting. There's no church ever, say, strong emphasis on prayer. Why? Because we're dependent on the Spirit, not on anything we're going to do. You may do some things, but it comes out of the prayer, out of the yielding to the Lord. So too often, there is little of the presence of Jesus that produces awe, that produces conviction of sin, that brings an overflowing joy and a life-transforming ministry. That's what we want. I'll just say that again. Awe, conviction of sin, overflowing joy, and a life-transforming ministry. May we never have to say, where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the gifts? Where's the excitement of that? Or have we lost something that we're now only Pentecostal in name? Right? And I'm not into denomination, so I'm talking about experience more than denomination. But we never have to say, where's the Holy Spirit? So let's ask God to give us a fresh revelation of what his church was meant to be. That's the cry of what do you think this place was meant to be? And what would happen if we all of us just began to yield ourselves to the Lord? And when the worship would come, you know, I love you, Lord. And instead of saying, well, that's nice. Oh, nice song. Oh, I like that other song better. Instead of that, and I lift my voice to worship. Right? Yeah. Well, what's happening? I'm opening my heart to the Lord. I'm yielding myself to the Spirit of God. Because I know, as I've said millions of times, that the Holy Spirit does not hide behind the piano and wait for us to get here. He comes with you. He comes with me. A Spirit-controlled church is a church that the people are Spirit-filled, baptized in the Spirit. That's what it's like. It's not here. Say, okay, is it in the clap? No, it's not in the clapping. It's not in the dancing. It's not in the even in the. It's the fact that we can and we release the Spirit of God, and we begin to sense Him. And by the way, for that reason, even in our worship, you can go right through a song service and not pause where we need to pause. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Is that you have to give time for the Holy Spirit. If we can't just and done that, then we didn't wait on the Spirit, just because there might be. And I love it when the worship team will just be, they'll just pause and they're just worshiping the Lord, just kind of get the next cue. Do we sing that again? Do we just hold that? It's just an awareness that the Spirit is sensitive. And because the Spirit is so sensitive, we want to just go slow, lest we miss that thing, that crucial point. So our prayer, I'm going to ask the worship team just to come and to lead us in a song. There, the prayer that I think we should pray, that I should pray, you should pray. Because I, as I look ahead, as you look ahead to the fall, I wonder what experiences we'll have with the Holy Spirit. I wonder what the Holy Spirit will do. He's come to lead us into all truth, that much we know, but he's also was the one who showed up at the day of Pentecost. Brother Ed Hurd was teasing me. He said, "How come you don't celebrate Pentecost Sunday?" I said, "It's to be celebrated, not commemorated. Every day should be Pentecost Sunday, not the day that we set aside for it." So, Holy Spirit, this is your day. It's like Father's Day. This is your day. But after that, you're out of here. I want the Spirit to move in me. I want to be known as on fire, flat out, fully surrendered, hungry for more of the Lord, wanting to see the book of Acts in your life, in my life. Where we say, "Oh, you won't believe it, Pastor Owen. We had somebody work. I led them to the Lord. Oh, that's good. We were praying about that. And we're all excited. Prayer meeting breaking out. Somebody, something else happened over here. Something over there. Just loving it. Joy unspeakable and full of joy in the place. That's church. That's what a Spirit-controlled church looks like. We're open to tongues. We're open to praise. We're open to the song of the Lord. We're open to the prophetic. Right? Open to the prophetic. If a prophecy, oh, but what happens if a prophecy gets off? What if somebody gives a wrong prophecy? Well, of course they will. Somebody will. Because that's human nature. I just say, well, we'll correct it. We're not going to turn the services just over hilly-nilly. We'll correct it. Say, oh, sorry, we're not receiving that. That's not for today. We just don't receive that. I remember sitting in a service in Regina years ago, and this guy started shouting, and he said, John 1:1-3, quoted, shouting, a really loud voice. There's 700 people in church probably, and somebody said, "Oh, that's wonderful." He was quoting scripture. He was, but he was mocking it, and we picked up on it in a second. He said, "Brother, thanks for coming today, but we're not going to receive that." And the whole church was comfortable. Say, good, there is control. But we want to let the church run. Right? I remember hearing a joke about that where this preacher's preaching is, "Let the church run." And the guy, "Amen, amen. Let the church run. Amen, amen. Now we're going to take up a large offering." And the brother says, "Let the church walk." We want you to look back in your life and say, that church was a source of blessing to my life. It was really vibrant. Really vibrant. And so if it's going to be Spirit-filled, the elders, right, Richard, have to be Spirit-filled. Brian, the elders have to be Spirit-filled. If you got a bunch of deadbeats trying to run the program, trusting in the flesh, I know what we'll have. We'll have nothing. Just a bunch of fleshly. Matter of fact, there's a closing verse to go on. It's found in John 6:63. And this will be, then we'll pray that prayer, and then they're going to sing about lighting the fire. And while I'm looking up, Devin, bless you. Bless you. It's good. Look at this verse. I can find it now that I've told you it. It just came to me. Yeah. Verse 63. Chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit. Would you finish that? It's the Spirit who gives life. Yeah, the Spirit who gives life. The flesh. It's no help at all. whether it's Pentecostal flesh or Baptist flesh or Presbyterian flesh or Salvation Army flesh, flesh is flesh. And if our efforts are fleshly efforts, they're no help at all. Didn't say it was a little bit of help. They're a hindrance. This is not a manipulation. This is yielding. Being willing to give up control in order to have power. I love that verse. I'm going to make that my verse this week. The flesh helps nothing. Just the Spirit. And so what I want you to do is just right where you're sitting, just to gently bow your heart. And you can look around if you want, but I want you just to sit there. You may want to just lift your hands as they softly play a song together. But what I want you to do is just to wait on the Spirit. Just wait on the Spirit for a few minutes. We got lots of time here this morning. We just wait on the Spirit. God's got a word. Maybe you've drifted from that. Maybe you say, we used to really be full of the Spirit, but I just full of myself now. And I know what it's like to be lukewarm. I know what it's like to be just okay. But there's more. Lead us if you would. So crazy. We have a Savior that we have a Heavenly Father we've never seen. We have a Savior we've never seen. And yet we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we have a Spirit that we've never seen either. I've never seen the Holy Spirit, but I've seen Him work. I've seen Him touch hearts. I've seen Him move in a meeting because the people were open. They're open to the moving of the Spirit of God. And I thought this morning as we close, we're going to invite you, of course, to go to come for coffee on the patio and enjoy just the right temperature. It's like three bears and Goldilocks. It's just not too hot, not going just right. So I hope you come. I feel Him here this morning. I wonder where He'll take us if we don't fall back into fleshly patterns, even in leadership. But we're just on tippy toes. Oh, come Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. Touch us again, Holy Spirit. Baptize everybody with Holy Spirit. Like Paul, may they all speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Lord, may that be true of our church. So here's our prayer. It's in your bulletin. Send the fire, God. Burn. Penetrate. Change. Renovate. Illuminate. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're conscious of being lukewarm, you're just a nice Christian, but you're not an on-fire Christian, why don't you just take a moment, just repent of that. Just rip that from you. Say, God, don't let me be lukewarm. I don't want to make you sick, Lord. I want to be hot. Like Paul, get fan in the flame, that fire that's gone out. Let the Spirit do it. He'll do it. Just say, Lord, somehow the flame died. I'm going through all the motions, but I'm not experiencing reality. So come, Holy Spirit. Come now, Lord, we pray. Burn, penetrate, change, renovate, illuminate. If there's anything else, we add to it. We do it now. Amen. I wonder, just as we close, if you feel the need for us just to lay hands on you this morning, just come. And maybe a small thing, maybe not be a big deal, but it might be a precious deal. Just for you to come and stand. And because the elders are here, and we'll just be glad to, super, super, super glad to pray for you. There's a calling on your lives. Many of you here today, you need to move to the next stage. You've been there long enough. You know that there's a calling on your life, and you're dilly-dallying it with your kind. You know, there's always good reasons why we're not moving to the next frame, but this could be just a moment. This could be a season in our church you're going into. You say, oh, and it was the amazing thing That was a season in my life where God really lit my fire. And I said, yeah, that could well be. If we are looking to the Holy Spirit for the fall. Not just, okay, what groups are we going to find? We're going to have groups. We're going to do all the right stuff. We're going to keep track of people and assimilate them. That's just a given. But what about what's happening in our hearts? So if you'd like to come, we'll linger with you and just pray over you and let the Lord decide where he wants to take you for that. So Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for today. This is the Lord's day. It's wonderful in our sight. It's a good day. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for this wonderful spiritual family. Thank you for Valley Church. Thank you for all the life. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the power in this place. But Lord, we just confess our bankruptcy so that you will have more of you upon us. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else like to come and just be in his presence here? Yeah, thank you. Praise you. Ryan, come. Marcia, or Richard, come if you would, please. Alvin, if you're free, just to come. Just lay hands on each person here. Boy, wouldn't it be something if we underestimated the power of our prayers and a great move of the Spirit broke out in this place? We'd be desperately trying to get it under control, but hoping we can die to that and say, Lord, just this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship team, just let the Lord guide you as you